Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, are you the type of person who can't stand to be around people who have a positive outlook on life? I was that person for a good portion of my adult life. Do you always tend to look on the negative side of things? Do you prefer to surround yourself with fellow whiners and complainers? Does that make you feel more comfortable? Is your basic outlook on the future, something will always go wrong in the end, preventing me from accomplishing my goals and finding true joy? Well, guess what? Our guest, Jeanette Hillis-Joppe, says you may be ruining your health and shortening your life by that kind of an attitude. Is that really what you want to do? Jeanette is someone who knows from personal experience the impact of attitude on your health. She recovered from a six-year-long medical condition that stumped a whole stream of doctors and left her completely debilitated. And today she is a strong advocate for holistic mind-body-spirit approach to healing. And Jeanette is an author, educator, personal coach, seminar leader, and speaker. She has an MS in health policy and management from Harvard School of Public Health. Most of her career was as an advocate, an activist advocating for access to health care and food support for low-income families. And she had a leadership role in major public health projects in Tokyo, northern Pakistan, Jerusalem, and Boston. And she's author of a book that's coming out within the next year called Everyday Healing, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But hello, Jeanette, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hi, Roy. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's please begin by telling us your personal health crisis stories. It's one of the strangest things I've ever heard, the debilitating condition you suffered from for 6 years and how you finally conquered it.
Sure. Well, you know, as a young adult, as a young person, I was always a very high-energy person, you know, working a full-time job, volunteering for organization. I ran a half marathon and rode 100-mile bike rides. I was always just very athletic and healthy.
Well, it sounds like from all the places in the world you went, you were pretty active, too.
Yes. Yeah, I lived a lot of different places in the world and had a lot of adventures. So I feel very fortunate.
Yeah.
And when I was, I got sick maybe a little bit more often than other people, than my friends, but I always popped right back up and was sort of going 100 miles an hour right away.
Yeah.
And then in 2002, when I was pregnant with my second son, I got sick with sort of a flu-like illness, and I did not pop back up. And for about 6 years, you know, I spent most of my time, having been a very athletic, high-energy person, I spent most of my time with really intense body aches, and swollen glands, and could barely make a fist a lot of the time, couldn't walk around the block, just muscle weakness, nerve problems, all kinds of vertigo, all kinds of bizarre symptoms that just really left me debilitated with two little tiny kids. My son's
on your website, I was amazed when you list all the doctors and healthcare professionals that you consulted with over the years.
Yeah, I like to play a game. It's like, you name it, I saw it. You know, it's very hard for someone to name a conventional or alternative kind of healthcare provider or treatment that I hadn't tried in those 6 years. I spent so much time looking for someone or something to heal me. You know, I was determined to get well. But
also, you have a long list of the treatments, and you say it's just a partial list, but it's pretty long treatments you tried.
Yeah, everything conventional, antibiotics, steroids, hormones, all different kinds of drugs, and then lots of alternative stuff, herbal, acupuncture, chiropractic, diet, all kinds of things, supplements.
You pretty much got the field covered there.
I really did. And
tell us about the turning point in 2008 when you decided that you'd had enough. What happened then that really changed and let you overcome this problem you'd had?
Yeah, well, you know, over time, the only diagnoses I'd ever gotten were sort of a mysterious autoimmune disorder or what they call chronic fatigue syndrome, you know, which means we don't know what's wrong with you.
And, that's a good excuse.
You know, that's basically what it means. Something's wrong.
Take two aspirin.
Go to bed. Yeah. And then I had two doctors diagnosed me with chronic Lyme disease and some other tick-borne co-infections, and their best recommendation was that I should take a very strong antibiotic, a very strong anti-parasite, and a very strong anti-malarial pill, all three of these strong drugs, indefinitely, possibly for several months or even a few years.
Wow.
The side effects were definitely going to be intense and negative, and they could offer me, I say, can you introduce me to anyone that you've treated who is now 100% better and living a full life? And they said, well, we can offer you people who are feeling better,
but
the people that I knew who had gone this route, and I did know some people from all of my travels, they had a lot of different, they didn't know what was the side effect and what was the illness at this point because they were on so many drugs.
Yeah.
And it's a very hard decision to make with this whole chronic Lyme business. It's so complicated. And, you know, God bless anyone who goes the medical route. You know, it's a worthy decision. But for me, the next day after I got this prescription for these drugs, I ended up on the kitchen floor at sunrise, crying hysterically, just convinced, you know, I'm never going to be able to go on vacation with my kids. I'm never going to be able to do all the things I want to do in my night life. I'll never be able to work again.
Yeah.
And I decided, you know what? I'm not accepting this. I am going to do whatever it takes. And the key for me was I am going to heal myself.
Yeah.
I am not going to go out and look for other people to offer me drugs or surgeries or interventions or tell me what to do. I am going to find someone who has walked this path before, or a lot of people, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes, and I'm willing to make huge changes in my life. You know?
Yeah, that's the key. You said you're going to let go of your excuses, and you're willing to make whatever changes are necessary to get your life back. And
I'm willing to ask for a lot of help, which I had to also do.
Yeah.
And so ultimately...
Your website where you say, don't take sick for an answer.
Right. You know, that's what a lot of people were saying to me. Well, you have this chronic illness, you know, you're just going to, you know, you need to manage your illness for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and that's not a good answer, obviously.
You know, and there are some illnesses that we do need to learn to manage our illnesses. That's true. I didn't believe that this was one of them, first of all. And even when you need to learn to manage your illness, you can still improve your health exponentially through taking care of yourself, you know. So for me, I happened, after making that decision, I did intensive research for about 3 or 4 months, and I found pretty soon a handful of people who had very similar symptoms to mine who had healed through this raw plant-based diet with lots of green juice. And I ended up, I got asked for help from a lot of different people. I turned my life, you know, around, and I was already on a pretty strict diet, but I really completely changed my eating and exercise and sleeping habits, and I changed my attitude. I went from being a very pessimistic, cynical person to being a more optimistic person as part of this whole process, and believed that I could get well. And within a year, you know, my 39th birthday party, I couldn't have lunch with five friends because it was too tiring for me to sit up and have lunch with five friends.
Yeah.
And my 40th birthday party, I had a dance party with like 50, 60 people and danced till, you know, midnight, 1 a.m.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, you know, so I want to be clear about my goal in the work that I do is not to tell everybody to do a raw plant-based diet, although I think that's a lovely healing diet. My goal is that everybody can figure out for themselves what their healing path is, and no matter what's going on for you, for a person with a serious health challenge, whether it's, you know, heart disease or cancer or an old injury or chronic fatigue or whatever it is, there is a path for you to get much healthier than you are now, and just, you know, you need the resources and the support and the belief to get there.
Yeah, we had a doctor on a few months ago or a couple months ago, that Dr. Melissa Clark, who said you need to become an informed healthcare consumer and don't think of yourself as a patient or someone that just sits back and, you know, passively lets the doctor tell you what to do without actively researching and, like you did, you know, consulting other people who've overcome similar symptoms and just really taking charge yourself. And it sounds like you did that. Well, what prompted you to start Heal for Real, the organization that you have now, and what types of health challenges is it designed to help people overcome? I guess a whole variety of things.
Right. Well, you know, after I got healthy, so many of my friends and family who had seen me miss vacations, miss parties, you know, hardly leave my house except to go to doctor's appointments for six
yeah.
years after having been such a social, active person. And then they saw me all of a sudden coming back out again.
Yeah.
You know, they were just overwhelmed by this change. So
huh.
many of them started recommending to their friends and family members who had health challenges to contact me and find, you know, and talk to me. And the more I talked to people, I just realized that the people that I knew who had achieved really incredible healings, who I had met through all of my various studying and mind-body classes that I took and sitting in waiting rooms and all kinds of things,
yeah.
those people who had achieved really amazing healings, most of them had sort of a series of habits in common, like
oh,
being very positive,
yeah.
putting their health first, prioritizing their health, being willing to make big changes, getting a lot of support from their family and friends to do what they needed to do, you know, using time management and organizational skills to set up systems to help
yeah.
them get healthy, all these kinds of things that made it possible for them to take on what they needed to take on to really heal themselves. And so
yeah.
I started talking to these people who were calling. They'd call and say, what can I do? And I'd say, well, you know, what you really need to do is to set your life up so that you can take on this challenge. And,
I love
and
what you say on your website that you want to tell you want to tell people two things. First of all, you can make it easier on yourself, immensely so. And second, when it's hard, you are worth it and you can do it. I love those comments that are on your website.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it is so hard. It is so hard and it's so isolating. You know,
yeah.
when a person's sick, we feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah.
We feel like we've failed. Society makes us feel even worse, you know, and you just feel really left alone. And so
yeah,
it's just so important to reach out and to get the help that you need. And you know, what you said about the doctor who was on, I completely agree that it's really about, you know, the word doctor comes from the word dottore, which is
yeah.
Latin for educator.
Yeah.
So a doctor is not a healer. A
no.
doctor is one source, a very important source. I mean, God
yeah.
bless doctors. I think they're very important.
Yeah.
The nurses, all healthcare providers, but they're one source of information, and we're the ones who ultimately make the decisions and ultimately
yeah.
need to heal ourselves.
We have a lot more to lose or gain than the doctor does if it's
definitely, you know,
health.
And if you ask three different doctors, they're going to tell you three different things most of the time.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean, that's been my experience. So when we choose a doctor, we are making a choice about our health care, you know, so we really need to look at what all the options are. But yeah,
why is it that changing your outlook can improve your health so much? What have you found is the real cause and effect in that, or why that works like that?
Yeah, there's just so many reasons. You know, there's so, I think it works on lots and lots and lots of levels. You know, one is that, one very simple level is that if you actually believe that you can get healthy, if you believe that positive outcomes are likely for you, if you believe that your life is going in a better direction, if you have faith in that in general and specifically about your health,
yeah.
you're more likely to work hard on pursuing your health goal
yeah,
if you believe
true.
It's possible. If you don't really believe that you're going to get healthy, if you really believe that you're destined to be stuck with whatever this health challenge is or the worst elements of it, you know,
yeah.
Or the worst symptoms of it, then you're not going to be very motivated to work hard to change it.
No.
Where the belief that it's possible, really, it doesn't have to come before the work, but it helps immensely because then you're more motivated.
It's so positive if you have a vision of yourself as healed and
mm-hmm.
start appreciating, imagining in your mind what your life will be like once you restore your health, and maybe make some objectives like a trip you want to take with the family or other activities that you want to engage in and visualize that positive outcome. I think that's a tremendous aid in overcoming and attacking whatever the health problem is.
Absolutely. No, Roy, you're exactly right. I mean, I have four steps for creating that I recommend to people to create a more optimistic, positive outlook on one's health. And one of them is using visualizations. You know, if anyone who watched
yeah.
the Olympics this winter knows, you know, that probably heard about how elite athletes use visualizations all the time, you know, of how
yeah.
they want things to look. And the more that we imagine what the goals we want in our life are and visualize them, that's a very powerful motivator.
Yeah.
So that's a big way. You know, another way is just that there was a study done several years ago that I learned about one of my mind-body groups that was published in Lancet in the medical journal about the fact that people with a people who consider themselves to be optimists are more resilient when they have setbacks than people who are pessimists. So when the optimist fails, their reaction is, oh, it'll go better next time.
Yeah.
And they get back up fairly quickly and they try again.
Yeah,
whereas
that's so true,
you know,
also, not just health, but people that lose their
job
or people that have a financial setback or whatever.
But if you're a fairly pessimistic, cynical person and you sort of embrace that identity, then when there's a failure or a setback, it's like, oh, why bother? And it can take a long time.
You can sit back and blame other people. You know, my company unfairly fired me, or they went out of business. It wasn't my fault. And, you know, it's so much easier to pass the responsibility for your present unhappy state on to someone else, but it doesn't solve anything by doing it. But it somewhat takes the pressure off yourself to find a solution.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, and the thing, the kind of tough reality about dealing with big health challenges is that it is a little bit of a research and experimentation process. It is three steps forward, two steps back, four steps forward, four steps back. You know, try something. This one didn't work. I need to try something else. And it takes a time of commitment. And so when those setbacks happen, if you are keeping an option, if you're aware that the setback is probably going to happen, you know, might happen, but that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And you keep an optimistic attitude of, okay, I can check this one off the list. This one is not going to work.
Yeah, you have some backup. You have some backup options to try if the one doesn't fail. You don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, exactly. I always had, you know, in all the years that I was trying to get healthy, I always had a list of these are the treatment things that I'm trying. And then, at the very end, I made a more serious list of things that were harder to do that required more work on my part. And I was lucky that then, like, the second version of the diet and lifestyle change that I tried really completely changed my life and healed me. But it's definitely, the whole thing is a research and experimentation process, and having confidence that in the long run, it will get you where you want to be, can keep you going through those, really. Because I don't want to minimize how hard this is. You know, you can make it easier and you can make it faster by getting the support and having the positive outlook and keep staying focused on it, but it is still, you know, hard work to move through everything and get to the end.
Yeah, it's not something that instantly, have a vision or something and you're fine.
Right.
You have work to do. Well, on your website, and you spell out 8 healing habits. Interestingly, you have a quiz that people can take that we can talk a little more about later. But you talk about 8 healing habits that can help you overcome any major health challenge. And these are so important. I'd like to go over each of them one by one, because they're. Why don't you start through that list of the healing habits that people can adopt that can help their.
Sure. Like I said, these are the habits that after spending hundreds of hours in waiting rooms and mind-body groups and talking to so many different people who had really who weren't able to heal and who had miraculous healings. And also, I want to be clear, there's sometimes when people can't heal from an illness. I never want to be someone who blames anybody.
No.
You know, we all have different challenges and different sets of resources in our life. And, you know, so I just want to be clear that there's lots of different reasons why a person has a hard time healing. But what I found was that some of the people who really had amazing healings were able to do it because they have these 8 habits.
Yeah.
So the first habit is committing fully to your healing, which is just that, you know, we know in our life that anything that's important to us, whether it's a job or a relationship or an athletic event, if you commit time to it, that's how you move forward.
Yeah, in our program we talk about midlife renewal, and people say they don't have time for it, and I say, what's more important than renewing your life to a joyful and productive second half. And, of course, if you're needing to heal, that's the most important objective you should have at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's often hard because people feel like, well, I need to keep working full-time for my family. I need to do this. I need to do that. And sometimes it's, you know, some hard trade-offs need to be made. But really committing
to it. And I need to watch TV every night.
Right, that too, right? I mean, sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes it's. And one of the other things that I say always is that any time that a person is having a hard time focusing on their healing or adopting a healthy practice, whether it's changing diet or changing exercise, and say someone says, I want to go work out every morning or I want to do my physical therapy every morning, but they're not doing it, it's not because that person is lazy or disorganized or undisciplined.
Yeah.
It's because there is some logistical or emotional block getting in the way.
Yeah,
and if that person can step back and take a non-judgmental observation of what's getting in my way, whether it's
Amen.
Journaling or talking with a friend.
You can't beat yourself up. Does absolutely
yeah.
no good.
That's never going to help. It's never going to work. You know,
well, if you
and
say I'm a lazy SOB and I'm never going to get anywhere because I'm too lazy, obviously, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, that's never. Yeah, you never. No one ever. I don't think people very often succeed from a position of, you know, I stink, I'm horrible, so now I'm
yeah,
going to go out there and
no.
kick butt. So that's just one thing that I think is important. So in terms of the habits, the second habit is being fiercely confident, which we've already talked about, the importance
yeah.
of having a positive attitude.
Yeah.
The third is nurture your emotions and your spirit. Like I said, you know, there are often emotional blocks that get in the way of us doing everything we can to heal. And that's completely
yeah.
natural. You know, not everybody acts in their own best interest all the time. We know this. You know, and so you really want to have outlets, whether it's journaling or counselor or friends or family or pastor or music or whatever it is, outlets where you can get out those tough emotions and identify what's getting
yeah,
in your way.
If you're a religious person, I would definitely recommend prayer as one of the spiritual
100%.
Outlets.
100%. Yeah, very much so. You know, prayer and studying or you know, learning your own religious texts and looking for
yeah.
guidance and inspiration there. And
yeah, yeah.
yeah, definitely. So that's nurture your emotions and spirit. And then the fourth is reduce stress. You know, reduce stress and learn to manage stress in healthy ways. And I also like to say don't just reduce stress, but increase joy. You know,
yeah.
even when a person is really disabled, certainly when a person is disabled and has learned how to live a full life, but even when a person is sort of in the throes of having an illness, you know,
yeah.
we need to look for joy that can sort of lift us out. So reducing
yeah,
stress
true.
And increasing joy is a big one. Habit number five is building a fabulous support team. I like to call it connection. It's just not letting yourself get isolated. There's so
yeah,
many different ways.
And part of that is being responsible to your support team so that, you know, you feel like if you're falling down on some of the things you wanted to do, that you're accountable to the support team, especially if it's your loved ones or your spouse or your children or that type of thing.
Definitely, definitely. And it doesn't all have to be one-way support either. You know, sometimes it can be, you know, setting up with a friend, let's go for a walk once a week, and I'll
yeah.
talk about what's going on for me for half an hour, and you talk about what's going on for you for half an hour,
yeah.
and we'll get some exercise, and we'll connect.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that's one kind of support. You get exercise and emotional support in
yeah.
one, you know, and it's mutual.
Two for
so
one.
You know, there's so many... you know, there's so many different kinds of support. We talked earlier about my book that's coming out sometime in the next year, Everyday Healing, and I have a whole chapter on connection that lists about 15 to 20 different kinds of support that we can seek from friends and family, and you know, and so much of it is mutual.
Yeah.
But so that's the fifth habit, and the sixth is increase order. Like I said, using organizational principles and time management to look for where in our life can we increase our order a little bit to, you know, whether it's setting up our kitchen so it's easier to cook healthy meals or,
yeah.
you know, for me personally, once I started doing my dishes every night, it became possible for me to make a green juice first thing in the morning when I woke up because I walked into a clean, pleasant kitchen.
Yeah, it's always
you know,
pleasant to walk into a sink full of dirty dishes.
Yeah, there was no way. I wasn't going to make my green juice if I had to do a half an hour of dishes first. That wasn't going to happen. You know, things like, you know, or people have a hard time going to bed at night. So taking a
yeah.
look at that from an organizational point of view.
Yeah.
So that's
no,
a big
it's
one.
It's so important that you have a game plan with systems in place to support the accomplishment of the goals rather than just setting the health goals and then
exactly.
you know, scrambling around to accomplish them.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the last two habits are pretty obvious. One is take charge of your treatment. And there's a lot in there in my book about how to use doctor's appointments well, how to use research, how to always, for example, always have a buddy go with you to doctor's appointments. So they can help
yeah,
you ask questions and advocate for you.
Especially
you know,
when you're hit with a negative diagnosis or something.
Yeah.
It's so important you have somebody there that objectively listens and writes down the facts because you may be overwhelmed by what the doctor's telling you.
Exactly. You need someone to take notes and to help ask questions, Jeff, and provide emotional support for sure. And there's all different kinds of ways that we can take charge of our treatment more than
yeah,
people tend to do.
Yeah, that's being the healthcare consumer again and
exactly.
not the patient.
Exactly. And then habit eight is take care of your body. And that's just about, you know, sleep, eating and exercise and finding what is the best way for you to do that and figuring out a way to, you know, incorporate that into your life.
Yeah, and, no matter what disease you might be fighting, there are ways that you can improve your overall body health and to whatever you're capable of doing, obviously, given the nature of the disease. But there's a lot of active steps you can take in the nutrition area and exercise and getting enough sleep each night, and that's quality sleep, obviously, not fitful sleep, that can aid in any healing process.
Yeah, I mean, there's just new research every day about how the myriad different ways that exercise, you know, makes our bodies stronger and helps with our immune system, and how much we need sleep and we don't get enough, and how much diet makes a difference. It is the saying, let food be your medicine, you know, which is what Hippocrates famously said. You know,
your eight habits tie in so closely with what we've been talking about since last summer, actually, what we call the OPENS formula. The O is an optimistic outlook on life, and of course that's what we're talking about today. The P is prayer, which is the same as your spirituality. Mm. The E is exercise, the N is nutrition, and the S is sleep.
Nice, nice. Yeah.
But, so that ties right in with everything you're saying there. That,
beautiful.
Although you have a few extra steps that we didn't mention, but I love those eight healthy habit steps that you... and people can actually take a quiz through your website. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's the Heal for Real quiz. And it basically goes through all of these eight habits and it has three questions for each habit. So you can take a look at how well do you have these habits integrated into your life. And because they're very specific questions, it gives you ideas about, this is what I could be doing this, I could be doing that.
Yeah.
And it helps you notice that the areas where you're weaker, you can use the areas where you're stronger to get to help you increase the other habits. So if you're really strong in one habit, if you're really organized but you don't have a lot of support, you can use your organizational skills to get more support, for example.
Yeah, that's a good.
That's on my website at www.healforrealnow.com.
Yeah. No, I took that quiz myself, and I think the scoring was 0 to 3, and I didn't do as well as I'd like to do on it, but I know what the areas I need to concentrate on to get better health, and you know, I have problems with passing up those steaks and those sweets and some of the diet-type things and a few of the other things. But I do have strengths in a lot of areas on there. And what we sometimes call a cupcake strategy, you can conquer the things that you're doing well and gain confidence from that so you can attack some of the things you're not doing so well.
Right, right. Exactly. That's a very smart way to proceed.
And
yep.
Dieting and exercise, of course, can be hard and for some unpleasant. You have some ideas on how you can make them more fun and easier to maintain. You go over a couple of those?
Yeah, sure. I mean, for me, you know, my mantra is really connection, connection, connection. So one way to make anything more fun is to do it with other people.
Yeah.
And when you do that, then you're not – it shifts you from the – victim, patient, I'm sick, I'm weak role to the I'm a leader, and I'm not only changing my life, I'm leading and modeling and changing the lives of people around me. So, you know, getting a friend to exercise with you, go for walks with people, play games, you know, take dance classes, you know, or sign up for a short, you know, 5K run or a 3K run or something like that, that, you know, that always makes a huge difference. You know, and it's such a simple little thing, but just adding music to anything makes it more fun.
That helps me, I know.
You know, whatever you're doing, if you put
that's
music in the background.
That's why you see so many people jogging with headphones on.
Yeah. You know, or in your house, if you're trying to get yourself to do 15 minutes of jumping on the if you have a little trampoline in your house or something, you know, turn on music and those 15 minutes will be much easier to do. You'll even look forward to it. You know, those are just some of the little ways.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do every morning when it's cold and I don't get to go out for a walk, is go on the exercise machines listening to some CDs that I like.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a lot easier. I like the follow your passion, it leads to better health. I like that idea, too, that you know, if you get wrapped up in something you really love to do, that it makes you forget maybe about some of your health problems that are holding you back.
Right, right. I think that's definitely true.
Well, tell us, you have a book coming out later this year, and what was the full title of that when it
sure,
arrived?
Sure, it's Everyday Healing, A Practical Guide to Take Charge and Get Your Health Back. And it's a day book, so it's a 12-month, it's divided into months, and every month is divided into 30 daily entries. And each month focuses on a specific principle or habit that can help us move forward in our healing.
Oh, that's
so it's
great.
Basically the eight habits I just mentioned, except that the take care of your body habit is divided into sleep, exercise, and nutrition.
Yeah.
And then there's an intro and a conclusion. Yeah.
Oh,
so
I love that. It's
like a workbook, and every day there's an inspirational quote and an activity for you to do to move forward towards having a more holistic, healthy life.
I love that kind of book that actually takes you day by day. You can read through the whole thing at the start if you want, but then you go back and start applying it day by day rather than just reading it and digesting it and forgetting all about it.
Exactly. It's sort of, it can be your companion for several months or a year. And really, I've had books like that have just radically changed my life. So I'm excited about it. Yeah, it should be published end of this year, beginning of next.
I see. But right now, you have some products on your website that people can turn to. You offer some health coaching. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, sure. Like I said, on the website, you can get the quiz for free, 100%, at www.healforrealnow.com. And I also offer individual health coaching, where I work with people 30 minutes or 50 minutes once a week and help them move through these steps. And what's your health goal? What do you want to do to be achieving it? What's getting in the way? And brainstorm with them and help them use these habits to move forward in their healing. And it's been really gratifying to work with people with all different kinds of, from irritable bowel syndrome to cancer to chronic fatigue to diabetes, all different kinds of illnesses where people really make big changes in their life that allow them to have much better health. And several times a year, I also offer a teleseminar where we go through six of the habits over 6 weeks.
Road to Hell 6-week teleseminar. I know that was that on your. When's the next one coming up?
Sometime this spring. I haven't decided when yet. I'm sort of gathering interested folks. So if anyone's interested, there's a contact me place on my website. They can certainly contact me and find out more about it.
Yeah, that sounds great. And you also on your website, you offer a free sample 20-minute coaching session.
Oh right, I meant to say that. Yes. 20 to 30 minutes I do, and so if anyone's interested in coaching, the first session is absolutely free. We'd be happy to just talk to anybody about their health challenges, do some brainstorming, and then see, if they want to go on from there. And I love doing that. It's always fun to connect with people and hear their stories.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed your website, and I think it's full of most valuable information, especially for anyone that, maybe wants to lose weight, maybe is confronted with not a serious life-threatening disease, but something that's been bugging them for years in terms of their health, or maybe they are confronting a life-threatening disease of some sort or something that would be debilitating over time or whatever it might be. And I would highly recommend that website, healforrealnow.com. And I want to thank you, Jeanette, for being with us today. I think this has been most informative, and I think we want to leave people with that saying that you have on your website. What's that once again?
Don't take sick for an answer.
Yeah, I like that. No, so nobody should take sick for an answer. And, and we're talking about spring now, which is finally arriving. And as we spring forward, we don't want to take sick for an answer. And let's bring forward to good health.
It's a good time to not take sick for an answer. Well, thank you so much for having me, Roy. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, and best of success with your book when it comes out later this year. And I'm sure people will want to check back with your website to get a hold of that as soon as it becomes available.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Well, in this segment, we will talk to parents of teenagers who plan to attend college or are considering it. And we're going to talk about preparation for the two standard college entrance exams, the SAT and the ACT. And perhaps your son or daughter is a high school senior and has not yet taken the exam this year. Or maybe they're a high school junior or even a sophomore and is just now starting to think about college choice and the exams that he or she will need to take next year or the year after. And whenever your teen takes the exam, you as a parent want to make certain that he or she is ready And not only will a good exam score help ensure that they get into the college of their choice, but the exam score also could significantly impact your wallet. If your teen does well enough, she or he could earn a scholarship. And our next guest is Craig Kinnear, who is here to talk about college entrance exam preparation. And he's an educator who has researched 20 different standardized tests and has prepared hundreds of students to perform well on them. He's owner of Kinnear Learning Center, which offers comprehensive tutoring and test prep services in the greater Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. And he's developed a Quote Ed mobile device app, which can help students and their parents prepare for ACT and SAT testing. And hello, Craig, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let's get down to the real basics. What are the ACT and SAT, and do almost all colleges require that prospective students take those, or how does that work?
Well, there are 800 or so colleges and universities now that don't require the SAT or ACT. I think Wake Forest is the most prominent one, but everybody else does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are a few that don't. But even for those few that don't, they'll often base your merit aid, as you mentioned, still on an SAT or ACT.
Do the two-year community colleges use the ACT, SAT, or is it primarily just four-year schools?
Community colleges will use them as well, sometimes just as placement for the particular courses you're going to take.
Oh, I see.
And sometimes they'll use it for admissions as well, particularly if you had like a low GPA or something.
Yeah.
Just to
That can be a big offsetting factor if you've, you know, especially if the student's come on in the last year or so, and but has overall not that great a GPA. And
for
ideally,
sure.
When should your teenage son or daughter begin preparing for college boards?
Well, when you're preparing for the tests, it's usually ideal to give yourself at least 10 weeks in front of the first time that you take it.
And
part of the reason is that some schools require you to submit every single test that you take. And so you don't want to take it kind of unprepared, because if you're applying to some of these schools, they're going to say, we need to see every single time. Now, other schools don't require that, and so you can kind of keep your scores tucked away, but you don't want to submit all of them just in case.
So you can take the test more than once then, but I didn't realize that some colleges would require you to show the first one, but it would be even worse if you did better on the first one than you did on the second one. You have to submit both, I would think.
It can be. Now, most of the schools that require every single one will be Ivy League schools, but I do know schools that are just normal schools, and the students submitted both scores, and they actually ended up averaging their scores, and there was like a six-point difference, so their merit aid dropped significantly because of the lower score.
So you shouldn't really, I guess, take it to... Don't some juniors take the test as practice, or does that count against them if they...
It can, and what I usually will recommend is that they take... there's a free test on the ACT's website and a free one on the SAT's website, and I always recommend to students, take that before you take the real one, or there's a thing called the PLAN test, which Midwestern schools tend to take, P-L-A-N, all caps. And then there's also the PSAT, which you can take, and the plan's usually sophomore year, and it kind of predicts your ACT. It's not that accurate. It gives you a five-point range.
When
people look at it, they only look at the top number.
They have to look
at the bottom number. It's a pretty broad range. But
so the PSAT would be a really good thing to take then if you're less than a senior, and that doesn't count against you, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. The PSAT and the plan test both give you predictions of the SAT or the ACT. And they're helpful that way.
Well, I see. Well, let's get into this recommended 10 weeks of intense preparation. And what's the best way to practice and prepare without spending an arm and a leg? I know there's all kinds of books you can buy and other tutoring services and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, part of it is based on the individual student. So if you're a really motivated student, you want to get the books that are published officially by College Board. So that's for the SAT.
Yeah.
Or you want the one published officially by the ACT.
Yeah.
And those are the books that you start studying from. And then from there are actually a lot of free resources online. There's a site called freetestprep.com, which has, I think, two full practice SATs and two full practice ACTs.
Yeah.
So between those and the book, and I think those books that are recommended are like maybe $20, which is a pretty good investment. If your score goes up 2 or 3 points, it can mean like $2,000 or $3,000 more a year, you know, in scholarships. So I think a $20 investment's worth it.
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty good return on investment. But tell us about you're real unique. You have some unique mobile device apps, and I discovered two of them on your website. There's one called the Quote Ed Reading Comprehension, and the other one is for ACT Science mobile device app. Tell us a little about what those do and how they're unique, and they really sounded neat from your you have little videos on the website.
Well, we built Quoted Reading Comprehension after we had some research into actually literacy that we were using with our ACT and SAT students. And we had one student whose reading score went up 10 points, and it was such a big jump that the ACT decided to investigate him for cheating. and so after that, I was sitting there going like, well, how can we make this available to more people? And right about that time was when the mobile app world was kind of flourishing.
So
it actually fits perfectly. It's designed to work within a phone as opposed to kind of shoving a website onto a phone. Quoted Reading Comprehension is built exactly to work within the device. And the nice thing is that it helps with the reading comprehension sections on both the SAT and the ACT.
Yeah.
So if you're prepping for, you know, one of the tests and you think, maybe I want to take the other one, it's going to help you with both of them.
Well, that's great. And to tell us a little about it, it has some really neat features like a question of the day or a number
of it's got
of
a question
things.
Of the day, and then we've also got a quiz by level feature. So if you're a little bit scared of tests and you're trying to get ready, you're like, oh, my goodness, these are hard, we have level one to kind of get you ready. And then for those kids that are, you know, think that the test is going to be the easiest thing ever, you can crank it all the way up to level five, and those are insanely hard. those are as hard as the hardest questions, you know, you'll see on the test. So there's and there's obviously levels two through four in between, which are great. And then with the ACT Science app, we built that one because our students kept asking, you know, when are you going to make a science app? When are you going to make a science app? And so we finally built that one. And that's actually, even in addition to the question of the day, it also has a full strategy section on how to handle kind of the crazy ACT science section.
Most
students get freaked out about the ACT science section. They're like, oh, my goodness, this is the worst thing ever. And so we actually put the very strategies that people normally pay me thousands of dollars to teach their kid in the app. And so it's really nice because students say, oh, this makes sense. Now I can go through it. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes will be like, well, it's just kind of common sense. I'm like, well, were you doing that before? No. I'm like, well, it should make sense. But I'm like, if you weren't doing it before, you know, this is kind of critical in terms of handling the ACT science section, because it really is a difficult section for most students, and it kind of puts them at their ease and gives them a chance to navigate it.
Yeah, what I like about both apps is I know you don't you have a section that kind of focuses why the question was answered incorrectly, or it doesn't just drop you after you answer that. Doesn't it have some feedback or something that you can...
Exactly. Yeah, we've got explanations for both of them, and that's one of the things that we notice with a lot of tools that were out there. They just be like, oh, here's the answer. And you're like, well, why was that the answer? And so we do give them explanations to help them get used to the reasoning that's on the test, because when you're setting up a standardized test, there's a particular form of reasoning they're asking you to do. And so in our explanations, we really get students' brains kind of trained on, oh, this is how I should be reasoning through the answer choices. This is how I should be interpreting the questions.
Well, that sounds like really the way you should go about prepping for an exam. If you understand what the what those evil test makers are getting at, I think it's a lot easier to get ready for it. So where would somebody... Well, give us your website where people can preview the apps.
Sure. We have two websites. You can go to www.knerr.tutoring.com.
Yeah.
Or you can go to the app's own website. They have a separate website, which is www.quotedapps.com.
Yeah, I noticed.
So Q-O-T-E-D, then A-P-P-S.
And where does somebody actually, if they want to purchase that, download those apps, where do they go to get that?
They're available in both Google Play. You just type in Quoted Reading Comprehension or Quoted ACT Science.
Oh.
And they're also available in the iTunes store. So if you have an iPhone, you can use them. If you have an Android phone, you can use them. They're available in both places. And they work on iPads. We actually have them optimized for iPads and for Android tablets. So if you'd rather use a tablet, they work well there too.
Yeah, that's great. And since all the teenagers now constantly have their iPhones or their iPads with them, that's an excellent opportunity to take a little time out each day and get that question of the day. And
It fits right within between, a Snapchat and a text.
No, I would highly recommend if you have a son or daughter that's either taking the test later this year. It's maybe too late for a lot of that, but they do, I guess, offer the tests in May and June. Some of the SAT has it in May and June, and the ACT in June. So you might, certainly for next year as they prep, but this would be an excellent app to consider. And once again, that's www.quotedapps.com or Kenerr Tutoring. That's K-N-E-R-R tutoring.com. Are the two places you can go to and preview those. So they're only about a minute and a half or so long, and they give you an excellent overview of what these apps do. And I would highly recommend you look at that and consider it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Craig, for joining us today. And I think that thanks and the best of success. And you pointed out a path that would make a very scary time, both for the teenagers and for their parents, make it a lot less scary with these apps. And best of success in the sale of those. And also, of course, if you happen to be in the greater Milwaukee area, I know you might want to go to that Kenerr Tutoring website because you offer pretty comprehensive services to students in that area.
Yeah, we're always looking forward to working with kids in the Milwaukee area, so thank you.
And the rest of you can get those apps and get your kids ready for those tests and save a lot of money with nice scholarship offers. And thanks so much for joining us today, Craig.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you one and all for joining us today on As We All Spring Into Spring. Today we heard why optimists live longer and have healthier and more fulfilling lives. But I bet you already knew that, didn't you? The question is, are you ready to move forward to become that positive person that you were created to be? And Jeanette offered some excellent ideas on just how to do that. We also learned about two great new QuoteEd mobile device apps that can ease the tension both for you and for your teen as he or she prepares for the ACT or SAT college entrance exams. And tune in next week to learn how you actually can retrain your brain as you age. Sounds like a pretty exciting prospect. Now go out and enjoy spring, along with enjoying the final tax preparation for our friends at the IRS. Remember, tax day is April 15th. And see you next week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.